Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we're going to rejoice and be exceedingly glad in this day, in this moment, in this minute, and in this second, will we rejoice and be glad. I am so glad that you joined me on today, and I'm excited on today about the goodness of the Lord, because the scripture says that the goodness of the Lord leadeth us to repentance. I tell you, children of God, as never before, we are living in a day and time as never before of the urgency to draw nigh unto God as never before and make our calling and our election sure as never before. Truly, this is the day that the Lord hath made and the one that we have promised that he has given unto us to live our fullest in this day. On today, I have another beautiful, beautiful lesson for you on today, and I am so excited that you have joined me. I want to take a moment to welcome all of my friends, all of my listeners, all around the world. I want you to know I am exceedingly happy for what God is doing in and through your life on today. It doesn't matter what test or trial that is coming your way, but what truly, truly matters on today is that God is on your side and he's working it out for your good. So be encouraged, take heart, stand in your faith, and knowing that the God in which we serve, he is well able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And a child of God, I want you to know, there is some dunamis power that's working within your life. If you have the Holy Ghost, and calling on that precious name of Jesus, God is able. He that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. Oh, come on and just shout hallelujah. On today, we're going to be talking about a beautiful lesson that we have, and that's going to be faith for a friend. And we're going to be talking about faith on today and focusing around the scripture, Mark chapter number 2, verses number 1 through verse number 12, as well as Mark chapter 2, verse number 5. And so we got to focus that, you know, through faith and determination, we must bring the needy to Jesus Christ. And God's amazing glory is revealed to others through our faith. And so as we encourage people, as we be a witness, and as we're witnessing to others, we're living in times right now that there's a lot of hopelessness that is going on throughout the land. But through your faith, God wants to raise his people up and to use their faith as never before to help reach the lost in this lost and dying world. And we can do it through our faith. And so let's take a look and explore that through the word of the Lord on today. Remember, we are talking about living victoriously through the word of God, being empowered by biblical lessons and principles, and actually exploring the theological implication and contextualizing the relevancy for today's living. Oh, child of God, you're going to be tremendously blessed. So let's take a look as we draw our attention into Mark chapter number 2, verses number 1 to verse number 12. And it reads on this line, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when he was brought broken, when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherewith the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, now let's take a look here real quickly. He didn't see the, he seen the man, but what he seen beyond the man itself, he seen their faith. He said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sin be forgiven thee. But there was a certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart, why does this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never seen it on this fashion. So far, the reading of that scripture, and our focus is going to be around verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sin be forgiven thee. On today, we're going to be talking about faith for a friend. Jesus began his ministry at once when, at a time when religion was lifeless and routine. The priests loved the painstaking etiquette of ceremonialism. They were an abundance of pseudo-piety and pomp ritual. The religious professionals were eloquent, customs, and holy trinkets to draw attention to themselves. Theologically imbalanced, religious expressed, and had hypocrisy characterized in their lives. Now, the ministry of Jesus was a breath of fresh air, breathing and driving away the stench of old, decayed religion. His words were new and inspiring and in direct contrast to the old and corrupt Jewish order. People was enthralled by his straightforward approach and his straightforward declaration of truth. In essence, Jesus was not coming in just of a ray of outward appearance. And if you even look and notice how he was dressed as a common person. He was not dressed in the priestly garb and the priestly costumes or array or vestments, but he was dressed as an ordinary individual. And Jesus had just finished his initial Jordan ministry and was beginning the first of the three tours he made in the regions of Galilee. Jesus' fame was going rapidly and had preceded him there. People were eager to see him and to hear him. Many sought him out for curiosity. Others hoped to receive their healing through the miracle worker. Jesus set up his headquarters in the city of Capernaum, possibly in Peter's house. Although the exact location is disputed, the city was situated somewhere along the northwest shores of the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum was a fishing center, but the surrounding area was among the most fertile farming area in the Palestine. Probably it was from these beautiful hillsides overlooking the Sea of Galilee that Jesus envisioned many of his colorful parables. Perhaps Jesus would have used the city of Nazareth as his headquarters. But he visited there, was met with coldness and unbelief. Capernaum was more favorable since it was the strategic center of their area, and he found more acceptance there. Perhaps it was from these reasons that he settled in Capernaum. He finished his first ministry tour of the area and went into the wilderness to be alone in prayer on the other side of the lake. As he was in prayer, he returned across the Sea of Galilee. The news spread rapidly that Jesus was returning to Capernaum. After he entered into Peter's house, crowds gathered outside the house and filled the courtyard. In those days, people did not wait to be invited. They just came. Many were there in hope of getting a glimpse of Jesus or possibly to meet him. Now let's look here further at faith for friends. The story that unfolds in our lesson text today is one of most exciting miracles of Jesus' ministry. The healing of the man with palsy both illustrates the healing ministry of Jesus and provide an example of the principle involved in receiving healing. The faith and compassion of a friend can be a vital asset to reaching God for needs in our lives. Friends bring friends. Let's take a look at that. As the crowd gathered around the house, four friends brought a man sick with palsy, carrying him on the stretcher. Evidently, the disease was so advanced that he was unable to walk. The only way he could get to Jesus was with the assistance of friends. These kind gentlemen went to great effort to bring their friends to Jesus. A friend is a valuable treasure. When we get into trouble, we can pick up the phone and call a friend. When we need to talk, we find a friend who will listen. Solomon said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For they, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 10. Proverbs 17 and 17 say, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The scriptures encourage Christians to be friendly. Paul urged the church to be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, Romans 12 and verse number 10. Three of the fruit of the Spirit directly involve overtures of friendship, love, gentleness, and goodness. We find that over in Galatians 5 and 22. Apostle Paul compared the church to the physical body, as whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. 1 Corinthians 12 and 26. The body works as a unit with each member contributing to the whole. In a similar way, having a network of Christian friends gives a person strength to cope with life's vicissitudes. We do not acquire friends without an investment, however. Friendship requires deliberated effort and cultivation. We can see Proverbs 18 and 24. The law of sowing and reaping plays an important role in the culmination of friends. If we are unselfish and giving and loving, these seeds of kindness will grow into an abundant harvest of reciprocating benefits. Now let's look. No way, no room. When we look at this particular story, there was no way and no room for them to get the man to Jesus. But let's take a look and examine his faith. When the four friends came to the house where Jesus was, the crowd was large and pressed tightly inside the house. After assessing the situation, the friend realized that it would be impossible to press their way through the crowd to Jesus. Most people would have gone home, but their determination was untaunted. This was an opportunity that they could not allow to pass. Their love and concern for their sick friend was sincere. They made their way to the roof of a house to search for entrance. Now, in Bible times, house was constructed differently than they are today. Most were made of a sun-dried mud, brick, or stone. Most were just a single room with a flat roof. The roof was constructed by laying brushwood across the rough timber. On top of the brush was layers of clay, which were seeded with sprouts and growing into grass. The roof were used for a place of coolness and quietness, sleeping and visiting friends, storage, and as a lookout point. There was normally a wooden ladder or a brick stairway that led to the roof on the outside of the house. The roof was used for commonly that walls were normally built around those roofs so that the people would not fall off. There was no entrance into the house from the rooftop, and the windows were entirely too small in ancient houses to permit the entrance of a sick man on the stretcher. Still, their faith finds a way to get us to Jesus. And so it is. Our faith will find a way to get us to Jesus and for us to take our concerns to the Master. Now let's take a look further here. Faith finds a way. The four friends decided that the only way to get their friend to Jesus was to tear opening in the roof. They began to tear away at the clay and the brush until an opening made large enough to lower the body down into the room by rope. Not only did they destroy the property, but also disrupted the activity in the house. Probably stems, grass, leaves, sand, and clumps of clay spilled down upon those gathered in the house. With everyone in the house looking on, they lowered the sick friend down into the midst of the crowd, where moments before there had been no more room. Suddenly, there was room for a man on the stretcher. Now, faith inspires determination. Therefore, determination is a good sign of strong faith. God is impressed with those who hunger after him. The Lord encouraged diligence and determination. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And for he that seeketh, findeth. For him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Matthew 7. Verses 7 through 8. Matthew 5 and 6 say, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Bible has many examples of people who doggedly pursued after God. Now, let's take a look here. Jacob, he wrestled all night long with the angel and refused to let him go until he was blessed up. You'll find that over in Genesis 32. The lady with the issue of blood pressed her way through the crowd until she touched the hem of his garment. Matthew chapter 9. Cornelius prayed and gave alms consistently until God received his act of faith as a memorial and gave salvation to his home. Acts chapter number 10. Many other Bible examples also reveal that reward comes to those who tenaciously have a tenacious spirit that will not stop, that will be determined to act on the word of God and trust God and go back to God because he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now let's look here. Faith rewards. When the sick man and his friend had the Lord's undivided attention, he acknowledged their great faith and spoke directly to the sick man. Son, thy faith has be forgiven thee. Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. Mark 2:5-11. He immediately arose, took up his bed, and walked. Jesus rewarded the man with physical healing and spiritual healing as well. Faith gets God's attention like no other virtue. Faith is the primary condition that allows interaction with God. Faith is fundamental to the Christian experience. Let's take a look at Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So faith being our friend, it must become our friend and a part of our livelihood. Every day, engage in your faith by talking to God, by acknowledging him, by seeking him, by taking time to read his word and trusting that he will be our provider. That's how we can make faith our friend. We know God as a healer. We know him as a way maker. We know him as a provider, a protector. And by trusting him, he will perform it on our behalf. God is faithful to his promises if we will only believe. And the Lord said, if ye have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the seed, and it shall obey you. Luke 17:6. For every verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart. There it is, shall not doubt in their heart, but shall believe those things which he has said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. Mark 11:23. And so, children of God, we cannot doubt in our heart at all. We must trust God as never before in our heart, mind, and soul. Now let's look here at another aspect of our lesson today. Faith answer to doubt's question. Now let's look here. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now the Greek word substance, or the word substance comes from the Greek word hypothesis, which means confidence or assurance. We must recognize that faith is the decision of the will to believe and to expect with confidence what God's word says, as opposite to our four senses and logical reasoning. And so sometimes it will even go against our reasoning because of how God has ordained things so for us as his people. Now, it is human to doubt as we live the spiritual life. We are continually challenged with contradictory opinions. Believing God sometimes requires that we must go against logic and reason, human reason. A miracle often violates both of these. But it is due to persist in our belief in God's word against our own human doubt is true faith. You know, even a miracle often, it just will violate all of this. And sometimes it conflicts even with our own self, but we have to trust and believe God. How do we do that when there's so many things that are coming up against us? How do one actually can do that and confess their faith in the face of opposition? Well, there's one person in the Bible that I really love so much, and to share her story, is Sarah. You know, through the deadness of her womb and things, and here she received the word that she was going to bear a son, and she even laughed at God. But Sarah, the scripture said that Sarah judged God faithful. And so it is, children of God. When you don't have the faith to believe, what we have to do is begin to stand in the heroes of faith and the great patriarchs, their faith, and begin to speak their words until our belief can come into the maturity and to the place where we can really believe God for the impossible and begin to say and confess, God, I judge you faithful. I judge you faithful. And as we daily and consistently say, God, I judge you faithful. All of your promises, all of your provision, all of your protection, all of your love, all of your peace, all of your joy, I judge you faithful, God. I judge you faithful for my children. I judge you faithful for my life and everything that I have. I judge you faithful. And when we constantly are judging God faithful and speaking that out of our mouth in the airway, God, I trust you as being my shepherd today, and I shall not want for no good thing today. That's the confession of your faith by stating daily, Lord, you are my shepherd, and I shall not want. You are my God of my salvation, and I put my dependency and my trust not in the arm of flesh, but in you, God. And as we daily make our declaration by opening our mouth and speaking it out in the airway and things, you're declaring to the airway and to your own life, your own mind, body, and spirit, that you're trusting God. And watch God meet you there in a special way as well. Now, can Jesus forgive sin? When Jesus saw the faith of these men, he said to the sick palsy, son, thy sin be forgiven thee. There were scribes sitting in the house who heard these words. With their knowledge of scripture, they knew that no man could forgive sin but God. We can forgive one another when we are defrauded, but to forgive sin in general sense was an authority reserved for God alone. Ultimately, all sins against God, therefore only God can forgive. Psalms 51:4. For another human being to forgive someone's sin was blasphemous, and it was considered an act of presumptuously taking the place of God. As the scribes reasoned in their hearts about the unusual statement, Jesus perceived their thoughts and asked the question, is it easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? Mark 2:9. The Lord used this occasion to prove his deity to the questioning hearts, he said, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. The man immediately rose up and walked out of the house healed. The critic was dumbfounded. They could not say, or what could they say? They had witnessed a miracle that only God could perform. And so here we find in this passage of scripture, Jesus was revealing his deity unto the scribes and unto the people. That he would begin to reveal unto the people that not only was he a man, but he was God as well. Both humanity and his deity was being revealed of the dual nature and things of him. And things was being made known that he was both God, and fully man. Great is the mystery of the Godhead. Okay, let's look further. Jesus not only forgives sins, but he also is a propitiation for our sins. Romans 3:25, 1 John 2:2, 1 John 4:10. God's perfection, holiness, and immutable nature make him incomparable with mankind. If there is to be a relationship between mankind and God, then man must be reconciled to God. The propitiation means to appease or conciliate. Jesus became the Savior of mankind by becoming the vicarious sacrifice for sin of human race. By giving his sinless life sacrificially, Jesus Christ annulled the power of sin to separate God and the believer. He not only forgives sins, but he is also the perfect sacrifice for sin, bridging the vast chasm between man and humanity. Now let's look further. Jesus heals and forgives. Not only did he forgive sin, but let's take a look further. Jesus was clear about the purpose of his mission, Luke 4 and 18. He was not only a healer of the broken and the diseased body, but also a healer of the diseased human heart. He said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." John 10 and 10. Now, how can we get to that abundant life? What do I must do? All you need to do is start confessing and saying, "God, today I am walking in that abundancy of life that you have prepared for me. God, I am walking today in the abundancy of life that you have given unto me. I accept it, I receive it, and I declare it, and I claim it as mine." And as you begin to claim it and declare it and begin to purpose in your heart that today I'm going to live in the abundancy of Christ, the abundancy of peace, the abundancy of joy, the abundancy of happiness, the abundancy of his righteousness, the abundancy seeds of his love and his joy and his temperance and his meekness. I'm going to abide in that place. I'm not going to abide in worry. I'm not going to abide in fear or concern and things that let it paralyze my faith, but I'm going to stretch forth my faith and trust that God is going to do this on my behalf. Oh, child of God. Now, the healing of the physical disease is most motivated by a God of compassion for the suffering of humanity and is an illustration of his ultimate will and mission. Physical healing is both a gracious blessing and a metaphorical tool that amplifies the greater healing of the soul that all mankind needs. The natural aging process takes its toll on the human body, and we all eventually shall die. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9 and 27. Nevertheless, we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:15. Our spiritual man is delivered from the consequences of the fall. We can escape the ravage of sin's curses through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we looked at how Jesus heals and forgives. We also looked at, can Jesus forgive sin? Now, let's look at another aspect. Jesus restores. The sick man immediately got up and took up his bed and walked out of the house. We can assume from this story that the man was completely healed. Our Lord is a God of restoration. God not only restores a perfect person to good health, but also restores a sinner to salvation. He can restore a child of God who has lost his motivation to righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14 and 17. The cares of life and personal failure can drag us down spiritually, but God is faithful to come to our rescue and restore to us strength and fresh faith. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 through 9. The renewal is a promise to every believer. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not faint, and not be weary, and walk and not faint. Isaiah 40 and verse number 31. Now, let us look here. In our closing, in our concluding here, is that faith glorifies God. Faith is the primary factor for any interaction with God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. We must agree with everything God has said about himself in his word. This is a fundamental principle upon which faith must rest. Believing in something is called faith. Believing in oneself and believing in others and believing some philosophy is not faith. Nevertheless, true faith is believing God's word. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Throughout history, those of great faith found favor with God. They found favor with God. Now, experiencing God's power causes amazement. When the sick man took up his bed and walked, those observing the situation were amazed. They all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never seen it on this fashion." Mark 2:12. The miracle was so wonderful and beyond anything that they ever seen that they were filled with wonders. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he continually amazed the people. When he cast evil spirit from the young man that was foaming at the mouth and being torn by evil spirits, those standing by were all amazed at the mighty power of God. Luke 9:43. On the day of Pentecost, God displayed his mighty power by filling 120 disciples in the upper room with the Holy Ghost. As they staggered about speaking with other tongues, the crowd was bewildered at the commotion, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galilean?" Acts 2:7. The power of God is a body, is able to do things that could never be done through the natural means. The faith of believers bring God's amazing blessing to the world that is bound by their carnality and lack of vision. So we bring our faith so that people can understand and see God as never before. Seeing God's glory in a new fashion. Everything in this universe came from God's mind and vast creative power. God created everything from a tiny microscopic life form to a giant whale. He designed the fascinating intricacy of the DNA and of the circuitry of the brain. He scattered millions of galaxies across the sky and gave the peacock its beautiful colors. He established the consistent law of physics and chemistry and mathematics. God had no problem coming up with something new. His resources are measureless. It is easy for God to amaze humanity with his specular, transcendent creativity. Amazingly enough, some people live their entire life and are never impressed with God's astonishing creation. Some just go through life with intellectual blindfolds, unable to see the beauty, the creativity, the diversity, and the complexity of this miraculous world. They never acknowledge the Creator while they pursue their own selfish desires and sensual cravings. They drink from life's cups of plenty and never contemplate the source of God's goodness. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Psalms 14:1. Believers know that even the heaven declare God's glory. Psalms 19:1. The believer's faith will proclaim to the world that God is the source and the cause of all things. Now let's look at how the friends brought their friends to Jesus. Isn't that profound? Have you thought about it? What friend have you brought to Jesus? Who have you invited to God's house? Who have you invited to the things of God? Have you invited someone lately to the house of God, or to even to invite them to learn more about God? You can even invite your friend to listen to the podcast. They may not go to church, but they may listen to the podcast. Invite them to listen to biblical teaching that can bless their life and impact their life. Now, the believer has faith in God and live a life committed to his word. This undying, unwavering faith influenced others to believe also. Just as the faith of the four brought the sick of palsy to Jesus, as a result he received healing, our faith will bring others to Christ. Faith is contagious. Everyone longs to believe in something beyond themselves. They wish for a higher power that will unchain them from life mundane predictability. Displaying our faith in God draws people to God's saving grace. Acts 4, chapter 1, verse number 8 states, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me." Christ has commissioned his church to proclaim the gospel to the world. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16 and 15. The disciple was chosen for a specific mission. He said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fisher of men." Matthew 4, verse number 19. In the parable of the invitation to the wedding feast, Jesus urged us diligently to seek the lost, so that servants came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, and said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the street in the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and to the blind." Luke 14, 21. It is our task and challenge and commission to bring others to Jesus. We must recognize that we love God first and people second. The first of all, the commandment is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." This is none other commandment greater than these. Mark 12, 29 and verse number 31. Jesus amplifies this attribute in both his life and death. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." John 15 and verse number 13. Four friends of the men who were sick with the palsy displayed great love and empathy when they lifted him to the roof of the house and broke through it in order to let them down into the presence of Jesus. We should follow his good example, their example, and do everything possible to enable hurting people to get to Jesus. Love will find a way. The fourth friend also illustrates great faith. Faith will always find a way to get to Jesus. Jesus not only healed the sick man's body, but he forgave his sins. Jesus Christ has not only the authority to forgive sins, but he is also a propitiation for our sins. He paid the extreme price for sin, death on the cross. He paid the cost for sin, and now has the authority to forgive sin. He is God with us, Emmanuel. Matthew 1 and verse number 23. As we look back over our lesson, we could see the faith of these friends, how they brought their friends. Friends bring friends. And then no room or no way, when they found themselves in a situation where they were not able to get their friend to Jesus, they made a way. They threw their determination. And we as children of God, it's our determination and our faith to be the man and the women of God that God has called us out to be, is through that determination that we gain great victory, that we can stand in the victory of the cross of Calvary. Now, when you're faced with the vicissitudes of life and things that are coming in and against you, you can take a moment and stop and openly say and declare that I stand in the victory of the cross of Calvary. Nothing will come upon me that God does not already know and have not given me the strength and the faith and power to go through. And that's how we declare our faith. That's how we release our faith. And then we begin to say, now, God, lead, guide me, and direct me into all truth and help me and enable me to work through this particular circumstances or situation. I need your help, God. And when we begin to declare, God, I need your help, then we are become rolling our dependency upon God to help us. What happens in just in our human nature is we just go out and just do and find ourselves just doing and trying to fix it, as opposed to stopping and acknowledging God and saying, God, you are the source of my strength. God, you are the God of my salvation, and you will help me through this situation. And God, I put you at the front, and I put you in the center of this thing that you may help me. I don't know how, but I give you permission to lead, guide, and direct. And when you do that, then you rolling your dependency, not upon man, but upon the ability of God in his all-knowing wisdom, all-knowing power, all-knowing strength, that able to help us in a time of need. Oh, child of God, let's bring our friends to Christ. When you find your friends struggling in a battle, you know, let's say, let's go pray. I'm going to pray. Instead of saying, I'm going to pray for you, stop right there and pray with them. And even as simple as your prayer may be, you may think, oh, I don't know how to pray. But prayer is just a dialoguing with God, talking to God. God, I need your help. Lord, help my friend, I pray, in Jesus' name. A prayer just that simple can do a miraculous move in releasing God in a mighty and a special way. Now, in closing, our faith is a supreme Christian virtue that pleases God. He is glorified before the world when believers persist in their faith. When God answers our prayer, non-believers are impressed at the glory of God's power. Even when we do not get immediately answers or dogged tenacity to persist in our faith, amaze the world and attract others to God. People admire determination. Our determination speaks volume about the sincerity and the complete commitment to God. God is a restorer of lost things. He is the healer, deliverer, and savior. The healing and cleansing of a man sick with palsy is a wonderful example of a positive effect of our encounter with Jesus Christ. The Lord is healing the sick and forgiving sin today, just as he did 1,000 years ago. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's still yet doing it in and through the lives of his people. So in our conclusion, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, thy son, thy sin be forgiven. Have Jesus seen your faith lately? This is an ironic thing, that when you look at this particular scripture, the first thing Jesus said, that Jesus saw their faith and said unto the person. He didn't see the sickness of that individual. Yes, he recognized it. It was sick, but it was the faith of that individual that moved Jesus. And I come to tell you, child of God. It's the same thing that's going to move the hand of God. It's going to be our faith, oh child of God. I come to tell you, and I shared with a multitude before, and I'll share it again about my husband. I tell you, when we went to church that August day on the 26th of August 2006, when my husband was found laid in my office on the floor, fighting for his life, we invoked the name of Jesus, and we put our faith in the power of God. And I tell you, child of God, I call him the miracle man because he's walking, living, and having his being even today. God miraculously raised up my husband when he was fighting with death, and God breathed life back into his nostril. I've seen it with my own eyes. Oh, yes, child of God. Yes, we wind up having to call even the paramedics, but they came and they recognized and they talked to my husband and asked my husband what had happened. And he said, my husband's answer was, I was just asleep and I'm just waking up. And oh, what a powerful testimony of the miraculous power of God with our trust and our faith and confidence. In the name of Jesus, oh, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. And I tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, I trust my Lord. I trust him for the miraculous thing. And thing. I praise him because God is able to do it, and he's able to do exceedingly, exceedingly, abundantly in all that we ask or think. I'm talking about miracles in the 21st century. God is a miracle working. I heard the saints of God that was saying, he's a wonder in my soul. He's a wonder in my soul. And I come to tell you, this is something I know. Without a shadow of a doubt, I know that I know that I know that I know, because I've seen it when I called on that name. Oh, there's power in the name. There's healing in the name. There's deliverance in the name. There's strength and power that is in that wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. When you call on that name and be even baptized in that name. Oh, yes. The invocation of that name is set off the effect and the operation and the authority will be resident in your life when you get baptized in that name for the remission of your sin. Not only the remission of your sin, but being engrafted into the body of Christ. Oh, child of God, it is something for every man, woman, boy, or girl. And I want you to go with me for just a moment as we pray unto God. Father, we come right now in the highest name heaven recognized, and that's in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, if we ask that you forgive us of our unbelief, God, and wavering in our spirit in faith, God. Father, we ask that you forgive us today, Lord, that we will be the men and the women of God that you called us out to be, Lord, with unfeigned faith. Trusting you, speaking to mountains and commanding mountains to move. Father, Lord, standing in your power and your authority. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name, oh God. Father, we give you glory today. We give you honor today because you are the righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel. Now, Father, we ask, oh God, that you will supply and stir our faith in our ability to trust you as never before, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you see every ministry. You see everyone that is listening around the world today on this broadcast today. Father, I ask, oh God, that you will undergird them and fortify and strengthen them. Oh God, meet the need, Lord. Bless them with the money, God, that they need to carry out the vision, Lord. You are a God of provision, Father. Thank you, dear God, for favor that they need to execute your will, God. Father, bless them with a ridiculous blessing, God, and that they will give all praise, glory, and honor unto you, because we recognize, God, you are the provider. You are mind regulator. You are heart fixer, God. Work it out on behalf of your people. And, Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and honor that's due unto you. O Lamb of God, we worship. We worship your name. We praise you to the glory of the Father, which is in heaven. We thank you, God, for being a right now God and meeting every need. Comfort the comfortless, God. Those that are bereaving, those that are heavy burdened, undo the heavy burdens today. And Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you glory and honor. Father, Lord, this is our prayer, that your holy and your sacred and your sovereign will be done all throughout this world and universe, God, to the glory of our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Truly, I thank God for you today. I thank you for joining me on today, and I pray that you have been tremendously blessed, and I pray that God will continue to bless you and make you rich and add no sorrow in your life. Remember, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. According to Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 7. God, he that is able to do all things but fail, and recognize that he will and he shall do it on your behalf. All you need to do is supply him with your faith. And he'll do the rest on your behalf by giving you the direction or even performing a miracle or taking you through his own process of getting it to you. He's a wonderful God, and he is a wonder in our soul. May God bless you is my prayer, and may God continue to rest, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore in and through your life. May God bless you, child of God. Bye-bye.